Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Hello, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins, and thank you for tuning in today, and we appreciate your loyalty. We've got a really good show for you today, and I hope you are in a comfortable chair and just sit back, get you a pen and a paper, and take some notes, because we're going to go over some very important information today. I've got Melissa Potter with me.
Hello.
I've got Mary Griswold, right-wing granny.
Hello.
I've got Pastor Jim Corr.
Good afternoon.
And Pastor Damon King.
Good evening, or morning.
Whatever time of day it is you're listening to it.
Right. It's evening when we record this, and it'll be morning when you listen to it, unless you're listening to it Sunday evening. So, but it's good to have you anyway, whenever you're listening. Also, I'd like to remind you that if 6 a.m. on Saturday's too early for you, and 11 a.m. on Sunday you're in church, and 8 p.m. on Sunday you're watching a football game or whatever you're doing, you can always go to our website where all the shows are archived, and you can listen online there. So if you miss it, go listen to it. All right, well, the topic today that I want to discuss with the pastors are the seven principles of the Judeo-Christian ethic. And this was written by Dr. Richard Lee, and it resonates as the foundation and fabric of a moral and prosperous nation. So, faith in God and reverence for God's word is the foundation of our country, the American Republic, and individual liberty and freedoms that were given to us by our Creator, God Almighty, like the freedom to worship and praise God. Those are the cornerstones of our American society. America's forefathers embraced, and I know that you've heard that they didn't, that they were all not Christians, and that there's a separation of church and state and all that. But I think if you take the time and the effort to study the real history of America, you'll find out you've been lied to about that. So the forefathers embraced these principles as the basis for a civilized nation, and it shows in all the writings. If you read the Declaration of Independence, or the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, you'll see it all through those historical documents. And I encourage you to go ahead and do that and share them with your kids, because there's efforts to remove all our history, to get rid of those documents. They've taken them out of school libraries and things like that. So you want to go ahead and do that. So Pastor Jim Corr, tell us a little bit about you. What church are you with?
Well, thanks for inviting me on the program. Pleasure to be here. I pastor Freedom Baptist Church in Havelock, and a small Baptist church. We love the Lord and trying to preach the word and reach out into our community. I also serve on the Havelock Board of Commissioners until December 12th. I chose not to run again. Not that I don't enjoy it, but I just want to dedicate more time with the church and the work that God has called me to there.
Well, we appreciate your service as a government official, elected official. I know it was a big sacrifice on your part and your family's part. So thank you for that. Pastor Damon, your church.
Our church is New Beginning Celebration, New Bern, North Carolina. We're down on Trent Road and been there since 2016.
Okay.
We're a startup church, again, a small congregation as well. I do really appreciate you having me to be involved here on your program. It's a blessing and a pleasure, and I look forward to just being able to do what I feel like I do best now, is talk about Jesus Christ.
Amen. Well, that's what you've been called to do. Okay, so we're going to get back to the seven principles of the Judeo-Christian ethic. And what I want to do here is I'll let one of you take number one, if you will, and read it, and then we'll discuss it. Jim?
All right. So the first one listed here is the dignity of life. And I'll just read what's written here. It says, the most fundamental right written by our nation's founding fathers in the Declaration of Independence is that every man, woman, and child are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Our morals and values of any civilized society is based on protection of both the born and the unborn. And it quotes Exodus 20:13, you shall not kill. Matthew 22:39, love your neighbor as yourself.
All right. So the dignity of life, that is a big issue, has been for a number of years. Recently, we had the Supreme Court rule against Roe versus Wade. Damon, I'm just thinking here. I know because you've been to some of the God and Country Christian Alliance meetings, and we do the March for Life there and all. What do you think the sentiment of the country is now as far as the unborn and the dignity of life?
What we're being shown, at least by the media sources, is that there's not as much care and love for the unborn. And so there's a seems to be a minority that are standing up for the unborn. But, you know, maybe that's just like what we've been hearing. That's fake news. Maybe there's more that are standing for the right to life and standing for life for the unborn. And we're just not being shown that. So I feel like the sentiment of the whole nation may not be as ugly as we may be being shown, just to keep us from being active and fighting against abortion and the killing of the unborn.
I think you're very accurate in that assessment, because that's why we do the walk and march for life. That's why we go out and stand on the highways and hold the signs, is to draw attention to it and to show that there are people in support of the unborn.
I agree with what you're saying, but I also want to say that I think the devaluing of life goes back to the devaluing of motherhood, which began probably in the late 60s, early 70s, where women were told that they needed to get out of the house and go to work and leave their children in child care. And I think that was the beginning of it. We didn't value the role that women played in raising their children, and that led eventually to the devaluing of the children.
All right. Yes.
I agree with you. I think that also, though, is another symptom of something even deeper that started back, well, way back, but really became popularized in the 1800s, of changing our worldview from a creation worldview that God created man, and so therefore God has put the value on life, to changing it to a evolutionistic thought, a humanistic thought that says we're just a product of random chance. Therefore, there is no value, no more value to you than a cat, mm-hmm. because you're just another product of random
a
chance.
Mass
you're,
of cells.
Exactly. You're not a unique creation, specifically created by God. Because I get tired of being called an animal. We are a unique creation by God as human beings.
Amen.
Yes.
All right.
No, I obviously agree with all the sentiments. I do think if you do your own research, you will find the polls that are being done. They're not broadcasting them, but the polls are still being done. And just for example, the upcoming election, they did a top 10, and the abortion issue did not even rank as voters' concerns in the mm-hmm. top 10. But yet, if you watch mainstream media, mm-hmm. that's all the issue is, yep. you know, you even have the president walking, going to all these different places and pushing this agenda of women's rights when you're right. We don't want that. We don't want this abortion, but they're pushing it hard.
All right, let's move on to number two, Damon.
Number two, traditional monogamous family. The backbone of a prosperous nation and moral social order is the biblical view of traditional marriage and family. It is the strength of the family unit and teachings of God's word to fear God and to love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind. We are to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. in Genesis 2, 21 through 24. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh."
Now, how do you respond to people that tell you that's just a fable? That's, you know, it's not true. How do you respond back to those people that you just can't get them to understand that marriage is from God and it's meant for one man and one woman? How do you get them to understand that?
Well, I think foundationally, I just try to go to things that are relative to them, you know, what they can relate to. But wait a minute, what brings forth the next born? If all the seed was planted in Adam for all of creation to come from mankind, and God created man to produce the seed, how do we get the next child? So it had to be ordained of God, or had to be ordained of somebody much more wiser and powerful than we were that understood how this process worked. And then so we continue on. So because in that sense, we're trying to derail the LGBTQ ideology as well.
Right. So you don't subscribe to the Big Bang Theory?
Well, there was a bang, and it was God said it, and bang, it happened. Yep. That's my bang. but we, you know, when I get to turn back to it, I always say, "But wait a minute, don't you have a mother and a father? Or were you produced by two mothers or two fathers?"
Right. Well, let's go back to the beginning of number two here, where it says, "The backbone of a prosperous nation and moral social order is the biblical view of traditional marriage and family." Now, Pastor Jim, can you think of any examples nowadays that prove that to be true?
Well, you know, the first institution God created was the institution of marriage. And so you're asking for a specific backbone of prosperous nation and moral society. You know, it goes back to what Mary was saying earlier. When mom stayed at home and taught the children the way God designed it to be, we had a much greater critical thinking in our society. We had children who could read younger, many times read many languages. I mean, you look at even go back to our founding fathers. These were very smart men, many of which were educated at home.
Right.
And so you have that whole stable foundation that all of society is built on. One mom, one dad. And, you know, you hope each of these families get, you know, showing the children what true love is. I noticed today in the broken homes we have.
Right. That's what I was getting at, the missing dads at home.
A lot of people, men and women, don't understand love, especially when you talk about the Father's love, the Heavenly Father's love. They have nothing to relate it to because they never had a dad, or their dad was, you know, whatever. And so, but to have a mom and dad who actually show that love at home helps a young person understand. When you start explaining the Heavenly Father's love, they can relate it because they say, "Oh, I have a dad who loves me. I can understand that."
Right.
You know, now obviously his love is far above any human father's love, but it gives them something to relate to with.
Right. Well, you have the moms at work and the dad's not present.
Mm-hmm.
So where's the kid? In the streets, unsupervised?
Yeah.
Being led by thugs and, you know, drug dealers?
Or in some government-sponsored program.
Yeah.
Isn't it interesting that we have women going to work and not being at home and generating income, and yet overall we have a poorer, economically mm-hmm. poorer society.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, can I add to that real quick?
Sure.
Years ago, we had a family in our church who decided that they were going to, he was already out of the Marine Corps. She was going to get out of the Marine Corps. And, but they were concerned about the loss of money with her getting out. But when she got out, she got out as a staff sergeant. When she got out, the money they were putting in daycare and all the other expenses equaled her entire salary.
And the tax bracket.
Yes. And so it was very interesting. He said, she got out of the Marine Corps, stays at home with the children, and our finances really didn't change.
Right. Nope. I'd also like to point out, and you may not want to go down this path, but I've found out that often if you make those sacrifices to stay home with your kids or whatever, and you pay your tithes, your bills get paid. Your obligations get met.
Yes.
So,
and sometimes you look at the math and you say, I don't know how that happened, but God did it.
But it goes back to the beginning.
Stuff shows up in the mailbox.
You just started an open box there.
But the first sentence says, the backbone of a prosperous nation, a moral society order, is the biblical view. You could just stop right there.
Yeah.
Biblical view, period.
Yep.
And we've gotten away from that.
Absolutely. Well, we need to take a break to hear from our sponsors. So we'll come back and join these pastors again for more conversation after that. Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Again, we have Pastor Jim Corr from Freedom Baptist Church, and we have Pastor Damon King from New Beginnings Celebration. There you go. I'll remember that after a while. Not too many churches have celebration at the end of their name, but that, yeah, good for you. All right, we're at number three, Jim.
National work ethic. Our willingness and desire for personal responsibility is at the core of the American spirit. Hard work and diligence is at the moral benefit of one's character and productivity. It is a spirit of an honest day's work for an honest day's pay while not expecting handouts from the government, nor to depend on others for our own well-being. How long do we have on this show?
Really? I know. I think we need to do a part two.
And it quotes 2 Thessalonians 3:10. The man doesn't work, neither should he eat.
Right. If you're not willing to work, you don't eat. And, you know,
And you don't get to eat off my plate.
Well, that's been proven out. Look at before the founding of the country, when they first came over here, they tried that thing where everybody got an equal share, but everybody didn't have to put in. Mm-mm. And that didn't last long. Jamestown and all.
They did Plymouth, too.
Plymouth. The people started noticing, well, these people are sitting over here, and they're getting just as much. I'm working my butt off all day long. And so that didn't work out. That was a failed experiment.
Yes.
Damon?
Well, I am reminded of what the Bible says about God blessing the work of one's hands.
Yes.
And we just heard that if a man is unwilling to work, he doesn't eat. I'm also reminded about the Bible says that God gives us the power to get wealth. That all involves work.
Yep.
I didn't see anything tell us to just sit back and let the government take care of us, sit back and let the social programs take care of us. In fact, if we move into the New Testament, now this doesn't have quite so much to do with work, but it does have something to do with the responsibility of the church when it comes to keeping the government out of that stuff. the disciples were concerned that, hey, you know, the people that have been following us all along are getting hungry. It's 4,000 and 5,000 people consecutively out there, a couple of times that Jesus had to feed a lot of people. But when they said, send them away that they will get food, I didn't hear him say, well, go down to Pilate. He's got a program. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And send them over to Herod. He's got another mm-hmm. one. He looked at the church and said, you feed them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So we got to get it all back to perspective. But the foundation of it all is work.
Right.
The first thing God did with Adam after he breathed the breath of life in him was give him a job to tend to the garden, name the animals. We're going to work together, Adam, and I'm going to make certain that you prosper.
All right, Jim. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Melissa.
Go ahead.
No, I just wanted to add to that with the church is that, you know, traditionally when you see a church, you know, people fall on hard times. We've all needed a helping hand. When you go to a church, when you're part of a church family, the church will help you out and you feel safe and secure and whole. But the church is also teaching you and your family right. biblically. And before you know it, you're the one helping out the next That's family. Right. Yeah. And it just continues to go.
Because you're now working.
Exactly. Right.
Let me comment on that real quick. Unfortunately, in today's society, we have people that take advantage of that.
Yes.
Thank you.
To the point where people are reluctant to give like they used to because they've been scammed so many times.
Yes.
They've been taken advantage of so many times. So they try to analyze. Now, God tells us not to judge people. I get that all the time. Oh, you're not supposed to judge.
I hear that all the time.
Yeah. But God did tell me I needed to have discernment.
That's right.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
I need to discern your character. And if you're scamming me, if you're a sorry person and you're out here taking money from people and running around the corner and getting in your Mercedes and driving off.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay, Mary.
This doesn't preclude charity. Charity was the church's responsibility, and the government has infringed on that. And the advantage that the church had was it knew who was scamming and who wasn't, because it was local. It was right with the people.
Right.
The disadvantage that the government has is that when you have a bureaucracy supporting forced charity, the bureaucracy wants to keep its job, so it has no incentive to get people off charity.
Mm-hmm. So that's a great point, Mary. And I've seen personally individuals who've come to the church who have a need, and you know, we'll try to help them out. But then I'll say, okay, let's get together and let's start talking about finances and how to write a budget and how to manage your money and everything else. And then all of a sudden they disappear many times because it's easier to just find somewhere else to give the handout than to actually try to address and fix the problem.
Right.
Yes.
And so what we need to get back to, you know, when I going back to the work ethic part of this, when I was a boy, my dad, you know, we had a he had 5 acres. And so we did, you know, big, huge garden out there. But he taught my brother and I the hard work that you put into it, the diligent effort you put into it, you get a reward. You know, so when harvest season came, I'm telling you what, those are some of the best vegetables we ever ate because we put hard work into it, you know, and we've lost teaching the reward for the labor.
Right.
That's right. When we were younger, I mean, I could barely see over the bars of a lawnmower, and I was out with my brothers pushing it around the neighborhood, and we all, you know, I'm one of 5 children. We all did that. We had newspaper routes. We had, you know, mostly the lawn thing. When's the last time you saw a group of kids pushing around a lawnmower around the neighborhood to go cut grass?
That was the GoFundMe of its day.
That's exactly right. And
but what else did you have when you weren't pushing the lawnmower and all that? We had 3 boys on 3 different ball teams. We had the first girl to play Little League baseball on the team here. So, you know, and what did we do at supper time?
Sat down and ate together.
Okay.
You worked as a family.
And where did you play at?
In the backyard. Well, I played all over in the neighborhood.
All over the neighborhood.
Yes, yes.
But all you had to do was come in when the street lights came on.
Yes.
So, you know, the kids nowadays, they have none of that structure.
No.
A lot of them. I mean, there are families still. Don't take me wrong. I can't paint with a broad brush for everybody, but Anyway, let's move on to number four. Let's see. I think it's your turn, Jim, isn't it?
I did work ethic.
That's right. So then Damon.
All right. So the next one is right to a God-centered education.
Correct.
Wow. Very important. Our forefathers understood the principle from Proverbs 1 and 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It is the basis for understanding creation by first knowing its creator. George Washington, America's first president, reminded us of this importance when he stated, "Reason and experience both forbid us to expect that national morality can prevail to the exclusion of religious principle. It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible."
Amen.
Yes.
And the Bible scripture that we have to support that, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in their training and admonition of the Lord." I do have to say that there is a verse in the Bible that lets us know quite plainly that my people suffer for lack of knowledge. Mm-hmm. And I've always equated that, number one, of course, the knowledge of God's word and knowing who he is, but also just the knowledge that it takes for me to evolve or move through the world at large. You know, what I need to do is, as far as being career minded, centered on Christ and then his assistance to help lead my family. And there's lots of knowledge I need to gain to keep my children out of trouble, to keep them from the wrong people, the wrong things, and direct them into the right careers or the right career choices and give them those options, but make certain that I'm teaching them to have the knowledge it takes to have those correct options.
That's right.
All right.
That's right.
Well, you know, one of the things that your argument you hear about putting the God-centered education in the schools is that separation of church and state again, because we turned over the education to the federal government, they're driving down to the state level their agendas. So they're quickly taking God completely out of education. Okay.
Can I address that? May I address
when
that?
I get through?
Okay.
I want to read from the Constitution of the State of North Carolina in 1776. It stated, "There shall be no establishment of any one religious church or denomination in this state in preference to any other." Now, if there was a separation of church and state, why would they have put that in there? Secondly, Article 32, "That no person who shall deny the being of God or the truth of the Protestant religion or the divine authority of the Old or New Testaments, or who shall hold religious principles incompatible with the freedom and safety of the state, shall be capable of holding any office or place of trust or profit in the civil department within this state."
Wow.
Yep.
Things have changed.
Until 1876. In 1835, the word Protestant was changed to Christian, and in 1868, among the persons disqualified for office were also persons who shall deny the being of Almighty God. So don't tell me there's a separation of church and state. It didn't start out that way.
Right there in the Constitution of the state.
Right. The separation of church and state comes from these liberal agendas, the communist, atheist agendas that are coming in and forcing a separation, forcing the church out of everything.
The argument that the separation of church and state is lost when you consider that they held church services in the Capitol building.
Absolutely.
In the early days of America.
I challenge you to show me any monument in Washington, yes, D.C. that doesn't have reference to God.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So the whole concept of separation church and state was designed to be a one-way street. If you recall, before the founding of our nation, and it's still this way in some nations today, if you were born in Italy, you were declared a Catholic. If you were born in England, well, depending on who was king or queen, but mostly Anglican, okay? If you were born in Spain, again, Catholic. In most of those countries, you were born in that country, you were automatically that. You didn't have a choice in what you, how you were going to worship Almighty God. When our founding father set up this nation, they said that we're not going to have a mandated state religion. You get to worship God according to the mandates of your conscience. Now, they even said worship Almighty God according to what mandates your conscience. That's acknowledging God already in their statement. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But they say, we're not going to tell you, you have to be a specific religion.
Right.
That religion is not going to have control over the state, mm-hmm. as many, the marriage of state and religion, you know, the monarch of England is also the head of the church.
Right.
They said, no, that's not going to happen here. Never did it intend that you cannot practice your religion in the workplace, in public square, in public office. It was actually expected for you to still practice your religion no matter where you were, period.
And right. It didn't support Wicca and, you know, the Satan worship and yes. all. That's not...
Just as
they
an
had
aside,
God in there.
In the state of Connecticut in the early colonial period, you could not start a town unless you had a pastor with you. And that was where all the congregational churches that are in the center of the Connecticut towns came from. Because in the early colonial days, the congregational church was a place where Christians
yep.
of all denominations could meet. And every town in Connecticut had one, or they weren't allowed to be incorporated into a town.
Right. Now, I'm going to read to you a quote from A Catechism on the U.S. Constitution, which is 332 questions with basic answers that every citizen should know. I'm afraid most of us would fail miserably. But number 7 in here, I find relevant to what we're talking about. Cannot all the people of a country govern themselves? The answer, if every man was perfectly virtuous and knew what would be best for himself and others, they might. Mm-hmm. But this is far from being the case, and therefore the people of every country are and must be governed.
That's right.
Yeah, and so it goes back to the statement here, the right to a God-centered education. Our schools, I mean, one of the first, if I recall correctly, one of the first things Congress did was have Bibles purchased mm-hmm. and given to schools and whatnot. But, you know, schools used to be taken care of by the church, by home, as I said earlier. And now we have this government system.
Yep.
And they claim they're not teaching religion, but the religion of humanism is extremely prominent in our schools today. And I think, and Pastor, I hope you agree with me on this. And if you don't, please say so. But I think in the 60s, when we had the idea of we're going to start a Christian schools, a lot of churches starting Christian schools was a good idea, and the intention was right. But the problem is, at the same time, what we did is completely abandoned the public school system to the heathen, mm-hmm. and they certainly have filled the gap.
That's right. Yes. That's yes. right.
Yeah, because, you know, if we're the salt of the earth and the light of the world, according to what Jesus gave us mandate to be, then that you're right. There was no salt there in the schools anymore. Mm-hmm. There was very little light. In fact, it was pretty dark. And if one person can stand up, Madam O'Hara, and yep. stand with the courts to remove prayer from schools.
You're right.
I don't know how you do that.
Right.
If one person can do that, though, I know Almighty God plus one of us can make it happen.
Again. Absolutely. Right. And I got something about that. But let's be fair about this now. I think some of the blame, a lot of the blame, belongs in the pulpit.
I absolutely
agree with you.
Okay?
Yes.
The Bible, God teaches you to not have fear, not to have a spirit of fear.
Come on, brother.
But as long as the government holds those tax deductions over you, okay, so you're afraid you're going to lose a little bit of money that you got to pay taxes or whatever, the Johnson Amendment, mm-hmm. Those things, as long as they hold that over a pastor's head, he's more concerned about keeping his congregation and all that than preaching the word. That's where we went wrong.
That's a huge problem.
A huge problem. And that's what you know, I was in a church that for 17 and a half years, people would tell, because of my outspokenness, they would tell me, politics doesn't belong in the church. I said, you're right. I agree 100%. Politics does not belong in the church, but the church belongs in politics.
Amen.
You need to be out there putting moral, virtuous men and women, whatever, in these positions of power that are making decisions over you and your church.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Brother Rick, you know exactly what you just said was one of the central focuses of our Bible study last night, considering the day being the first day of early voting. And so we centered around what's going on in this nation, where how we got here, and then how do we undo this? And it's only going to be by the hand of God, through and by Christians who are going to boldly stand up, proclaim the gospel, and pray, and then try to give direction and include themselves to be involved in government action.
All right. All right. Well, we need to take another break to hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, Wellness Educator and Nutritional Consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Hope you're enjoying the show today. We have Pastor Damon King with us and Pastor Jim Corr, and we're talking about, let me scroll back so I don't get it wrong, seven principles of the Judeo-Christian ethic. And we're down to principle number five. Melissa, could you read that for us?
Sure. This is the Abrahamic covenant. It all started in the book of Genesis, recording the story of a covenant of promises and blessings God made with Abraham based on obedience to his laws and commandments. Abraham would be blessed by God with generations of children that would outnumber the stars in the heavens. And this is referenced in Genesis 15:5. The concept of the Abrahamic covenant is of either blessing or punishment. If a person or nations obeys God by observing moral biblical truths, that person or nation will be blessed. If they disobey, then punishment will be brought to them and their land. Good deeds are produced when people fear God. From Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people.
Amen. Well, a lot of people would tell you you're placing your faith in a fictitious, non-existent thing out there when you do that. But I challenge you to tell me one thing. If that is true, how does history prove over and over again that these concepts, if they're followed, if you are a moral and you're obedient to God's laws, your nation thrives.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't, your nation falls. I think there's something to it.
Look at our nation today.
Yeah.
There was a study done a couple of years ago in South America. The guy was South American, about what makes a nation prosperous. They were trying to see if there was a key. And it wasn't done from a Christian perspective necessarily, but it works out that way. Because the key, when they looked for a common element in prosperous nations, was private property ownership. Now, if you think about the covenant where people fear God and respect each other's property, you're going to get that private property ownership and the prosperity that comes with it. But the root of that, again, is respect for God's laws and respect for God.
Mm-hmm. Right, that also goes back to the part about if you don't work, you don't eat.
Yes.
All of it ties together.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's an application of always, when you follow God's way, God's design, it's going to work because God has designed it that way. What I found when you gave me this earlier about, these principles, the Abrahamic covenant, I personally believe was a covenant for Abraham and his descendants, the Jews specifically, okay? But there's principles that still apply to us in the covenant. Because when you go to chapter 12, when God gave this, now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, and the land which I will show thee, and I will make thee a great nation, Israel, and bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. But here's where I think it really applies to us. I will bless them that bless thee, and curseth him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now, yes, it's important we live biblical principle to see God's blessing, but here's a promise that those that bless the nation of Israel will be blessed, and those that curse the nation of Israel will be cursed. Because again, this covenant being that to them, God says, those that bless Israel, and we have since the founding of our nation been a friend, 1948, when Israel was reestablished as a state, we have been a friend to Israel.
Mostly.
But less in times, modern times. And I really believe there's a direct correlation between us seeing the blessing of God when we were truly a friend of Israel versus our animosity toward them now, and we're losing that blessing.
Yes.
There's a direct correlation according to this covenant.
Absolutely.
We see it so much. We have seen it so much in our lifetime. I mean, it's just obvious to anyone who knows the scripture.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. All right, well, let me first of all apologize, folks, if you're listening and you're wondering, well, what's with the music and the strange noises? We're in a different location tonight. What you just heard, if you heard it, was the elevator going up and down. And the music earlier is dance lessons in a ballroom next to us here. So anyway, let's move on. To number 6, Mary, do you want to read that? Or
common decency.
Oh.
Decency is rooted in moral and righteous people, for people and nations to do good unto others. We as moral people and a nation are to be kind, generous, and helping others as ourselves. It is with decency and good character to shine. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's Matthew 22:39.
All right. Common decency. There's a lack of that nowadays. I mean, the things that you hear just walking down the sidewalks or through the grocery store or in the mall, the youth of today have no common decency. At one time, George Carlin, the comedian, had a bit on the 7 things you can't say on TV.
Now you hear them every day.
Right. You can say them anywhere.
Yes.
That would have got you smacked by anybody in the neighborhood when I was growing up, and you wouldn't have done it again because it would have got back home before you did, and you'd have got it again.
You would have gotten the soap.
Always.
Right. But the F word has become common in every aspect of our society now. Even politicians are not afraid to drop it.
On the floor.
Yeah, on public TV. And I mean, it's just...
You know, it's interesting you say this because... So when I served in the Navy, it was only just a few years ago. It seems like it's just a few years ago. It was in the 90s. Okay, so I'm an old man, whatever. But, you know, we were even taught back then, when you go out in town, be careful your language, be careful your dress, be careful your demeanor, because you're representing the United States no matter where you are. And I take my family out to dinner today, and I can hear sailors or Marines in the next table using all kinds of foul language, talking all kinds of trash. And it's like, wait a minute, whatever happened to the day? And I did start for a while. I did say, I want to know what command you guys are with. And I call their sergeant major. So I found out the sergeant's major don't care.
They're just as bad.
My family and I went out, and this has been years ago, to a Chinese restaurant. We were having dinner. And there was a table that had four teenagers sitting at it. And they got up to go to the buffet, and this boy had on a T-shirt that said, F the world. I got up and went to the buffet. I said, son, I'd just like you to know that everybody in here doesn't appreciate that. And he didn't say anything. But when he got back to the table, he put a jacket on over that T-shirt. So... it takes somebody calling them out, like you said, Jim. You know, we as Christians, that's our moral responsibility, our moral duty. If we let them get away with it, it's our fault we got what we got.
So I'm going to crack open another can of worms on this. I think social media has only made this problem worse. Because people will say on social media things that they will not say to your face.
That's because of the anonymity that's involved with it. You don't necessarily know who they are, especially if their name's Tomcat or...
Right, exactly.
I do want a couple of things that came up, and it ties into this common decency. One about people not wanting to give to charity or to give to someone on the street because they've been scammed. I want to say to that is that that's not your responsibility, what they do with it. Your responsibility is to show God's love and mercy and to embrace that charity. And it what happens after you give that charity, if they do go and buy a fifth of liquor, you know, you did what you were supposed to do, and don't let it hurt you, because you will eventually be helping someone.
Well, I'll tell you, one way I handled that, when they used to come up to the church and ask, you know, I need something because I'm cold. I said, get in the car. And I took them to Walmart, and I bought them a blanket and food. And all, you know, I'm not going to give them cash. I'll meet their need if I can. I had one young man. He said he was out of work. I said, well, I'm remodeling my home. How would you like to come help me out and do some work? And he did. And that young fellow, I felt so sorry for him. I saw him over there, and it was taking him forever, and I realized he can't see it. And he didn't have any way to buy glasses or anything, but he was willing to go there and work. And I paid him, and he disappeared.
Well, one of the earliest things of charity when we lived, when we were kids, and someone came up, all of us kids were playing, you know, around the house, and he came up and asked to speak to our mom because our dad was at work. And he came to the door. Of course, all the kids crowd around, want to know what the man wants. And he was talking about how he was hungry and he hadn't eaten in a couple of days. And, well, mom had just made us lunch. So, you know, mom said, we don't have any money to give you. And she shut the door. Well, the guy starts to walk away. And we were like, well, we'll give him part of our lunch, mom. And she let us take a plate. And we piled it with the hot dogs and the macaroni and cheese and chips. Got an ice cold drink and caught him as he's leaving the yard. And we are small children, okay? And we are our first act of giving to a stranger. And he flipped the plate in our faces as children. If we had let that ruin you know, forever forgiving. And so we had to, you know, have that come to Jesus moment where you can't let, it's not, your responsibility was the given heart.
Yes.
With tying into the common decency, the other thing with your children, it will come back to you. I know my dad gets complimented on how just amazing his children are all the time, but also because my son was out with his father. He's 25 years old, and a man who works at a with youth. He said, "You know, your son seems really, really decent and nice. You know, a nice young man." And he said about the people he works with, and Brian said, "Yeah, he's been a great child for us." And Caleb said, they started to talk about what's wrong. And my son Caleb said, you know, they're not taught to respect their elders or to respect each other or themselves. And he said, that is where it's all gone wrong with losing respect for the common, your common neighbor.
Yes.
And of course, I'm so proud. But the guy was like, that's absolutely right. It does come back. It will reflect in your children. It doesn't matter what's on the outside. You have to do your part, like Jesus said.
Living. Raise up your child as you would have him go.
Right. That's
he will never depart from you. Huh?
That's what I was looking for.
I wanted to shed a little bit of light on the you shall love your neighbor as yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I submit this to everyone to really look at how that's worded.
He'd be getting cheated.
You shall love your neighbor as yourself, not as you love yourself,
right,
but as yourself. So when I look across the table and I see Rick, I see Damon's face. Hmm. When I look across the table and see every person's face in this room, I see my face. Because the Bible says in Acts 20, 17 and 26, that from one blood, God created all nations. Mm-hmm. So there's my blood. There's my face. There's my person sitting across from it. Because it doesn't say as you love yourself. It says as if it is you.
Right.
And if I really look at that, well, Damon's not going to do Damon any harm. And that's where we get the last six of the Ten Commandments, starting with our neighbor. Well, I'm not going to murder myself. There's certain things I'm not going to steal from myself. I don't have to covet my own things. They're mine anyway, right? So if we really look at how that's worded, it says love your neighbor as yourself.
Right.
Wow, that's a whole different way of looking at it.
Oh, yes, it is. Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
Hey folks, here's a tip. When you think firearms and ammo, think East 70 Palm. They've been on Highway 70 east of New Bern across from the fairgrounds for 31 years. Drew Preston and his staff know firearms. Gun sales have tripled in under a year, and women shooters are the fastest growing part of their business. Their great inventory, over 300 guns in stock, changes daily. And if you want something they don't have, they'll look for it. New and used, rifles, shotguns, and pistols, buy, sell, or trade. And they also have many holsters, scopes, and other gun accessories. Every member of the staff is deeply knowledgeable, and every one of them is an excellent shooter. So don't just come for the inventory. Come for the thoughtful advice. East 70 Palm, your home for firearms, ammo, and answers. Highway 70 East, New Bern, across from the fairgrounds.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
How would you like to buy a present, be inspired, and have your spirits lifted? It's easy. Just visit Carolina Creations at 317 Pollock Street in downtown New Britain. You'll find an amazing array of gallery-worthy paintings, one-of-a-kind jewelry, pottery, glassware, greeting cards, personal adornments, and all sorts of temptations. Everything is displayed to please the eye. Prices run the gamut from a few dollars to a few thousand dollars. Many items are by local artists and artisans. Carolina Creations has been voted Best Gallery, Best Gift Shop, and Best Jewelry Store by the Sun Journal's readers. Stop in and see why. The friendly, knowledgeable staff will let you browse to your heart's content or swing into helpful mode if that's needed. You'll enjoy a visit to Carolina Creations. That's a promise.
All right. Well, before we run out of time here, let's hit, we're already out of time, just about. Number seven, our personal accountability to God. Every person in the nation will give account for actions to Almighty God. All will be responsible and held accountable. There is blessing in doing good, which is right, noble, and just, while there is penalty for committing wrongdoing. And it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. That's Hebrews 9:27. And blessed is the nation whose God is Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. Psalm 33:12. And I'm going to close this out now, because we've run out of time. And Damon, going back to something you said about if one person, this is entitled Believe for the Future of Our Nation. And Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel wrote, we see it repeatedly throughout the Bible in examples such as Nehemiah, Josiah, and Hezekiah. First, these men personally renewed themselves in the Lord, and then they set out to influence their culture and their nation for what was right. It started with just one individual unabashedly willing to turn back to God, and soon an entire generation of God's people did the same. Only after these leaders began to seek the ways of the Lord was there a profound cultural shift. It happened as well in America's Great Awakenings. In each case, there was a ripple effect, a radical awakening, a change, and repentance. And folks, I believe there's an awakening going on now. Now, when they talk about the Great Awakenings, there's been more than one. One of them started right in here on the corner of Pollock and Middle Street. George Whitfield stood on that corner. There's a plaque on the ground down there, and it'll tell you about he stood there and preached that sermon, and from that it went all over and turned into another awakening. So, folks, thanks for tuning in. Hope you enjoyed today's show. We hope you'll come back and join us again next week for CCTA Wake Up Call.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Britain, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. J. Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Britain.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, Wellness Educator and Nutritional Consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Britain. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.